Geeks. Geeks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Carrie G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
This is James Averer from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Hey, it's Ralph Garman. You are listening to Metal Geeks, and I must say, you've made an excellent choice.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the podcast that you missed the most, the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie G.
And I am the returning JM Metal Geek.
Yeah, man, we have a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode.
Absolutely.
So, before we go on to, some ads and all that kind of stuff, anything happened to you recently? Anything you need to talk about?
Yeah, man, I got hitched.
To a truck?
Yeah.
Nice.
I got married, man.
And yeah.
It was absolutely beautiful day. Really could not have asked for a better day, honestly.
I've seen some of the pictures, man. Unfortunately, I live far away. I wasn't able to get there, but
right.
We'll have to make that up, man.
We'll
have to do another bachelor party.
Yeah. Well, actually, the night before the wedding, I actually was just hanging out with the dudes here, and we were watching YouTube videos, and that's honestly, we watched Dirty Laundry, the Punisher Dirty Laundry movie on
nice.
YouTube, because none of them had seen it, and I was like, man, you gotta fucking watch this.
So, yeah, I love that movie.
But otherwise, the actual ceremony, the day of the wedding, was fantastic. Could not have been a better day. Everything was cooperative, the weather. That was the one thing I was most concerned about.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely spectacular, and I had everybody. I mean, it was a very, very small wedding anyways. I think we had like 50 people at most, and everybody came up to us and told us how beautiful of a day it was. And, I know that like a lot of typical stereotype weddings, the traditional weddings, people come up like, oh, that's a beautiful wedding. But it really was just us. I mean, it was very simplistic. It was, it was very, I literally said shit when I was saying my vows. So, that's like a very untraditional
right.
thing. Because, I'm a very emotional guy. If anybody listens to Kevin Smith's podcasts, you know how he all tears up a lot.
Yeah.
When something overwhelms me with, I start tearing up. And when I was telling my wife my vows, I literally started tearing up. And I said, shit.
Nice.
Yeah, and then it just kept going, but...
Did anybody get that, film in or anything?
I don't think so, because we had a, I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not, but it's called an unplugged wedding. Basically, we hired a spectacular photographer named Stacy Paul out in St. Pete in Tampa area. So anybody out there listening to the podcast that's in the area, I 100% highly recommend Stacy Paul's photography. She was so free, not the cost. The cost is very expensive, but it's worth it.
Right. If you don't mind, I guess what we can do in the show notes on the website, which is metalgeekspodcast.com, go to this episode and we can actually put a link to her and we can actually put up some of your pictures from the wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally okay with that. In fact, she has a blog with a lot of the previews of the stuff that she's done for us. But
cool. And then we can also put a link to your address, and then people can send you gifts.
That'd be fucking cool, to be honest with you. but I'm not expecting that. So anyways, she was very, very cool. And the one thing that she did request for the wedding is, you know, we paid a lot of money for her to do her amazing work. So we didn't want somebody to have their fucking tablet blocking her camera, you know, so
right.
We called it an unplugged wedding. And my really good friend, Andy, is the guy who actually, he was the guy who did the wedding for us. He was the conductor. And he told everybody in the beginning, you know, please, you know, this is an unplugged wedding. Everybody, please put your cell phones and cameras away. So, yeah. But overall, it was fucking beautiful day, man. It really, really was. I can't express that enough. My wife was the most beautiful woman in the world. And, you know, I honestly am the luckiest guy in the world. Sorry, Carrie, but I am the luckiest guy in the world.
Now you're making me tear up.
Yeah. Well, man, as soon as I turned around and I saw her, because, you know, we didn't, the only traditional thing we did was I didn't see her the day of the wedding.
Right.
So the last time I saw her was at the rehearsal dinner. And, you know, it was kind of like we were sending Snapchats to each other, but it wasn't of our faces or anything, or not any of our. I realized after I said that it was going to come out like. But no, it was more so just blank screens with text. And, you know, in the morning, she sent a picture of her hand and said, I'm going to go get my nails done for the wedding. And, you know, those kind of things. And we text back and forth, but I hadn't seen her until I was up at the quote unquote altar, which was actually a gigantic tree. And, Andy, the conductor of the wedding, I was facing him and I saw the girls coming up on the right, but I didn't know when my wife was going to walk down the aisle. So Andy had to nod to me and he was like, turn around. I'm like, are you sure? He said, yeah, she's right there. Turn around. So I turned around and, she was so beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. And it was so overwhelming. And as soon as she walked up and she had both of her parents walk her down the aisle. And that in itself was a huge accomplishment because, you know, we both came from broken homes and we had both, you know, sides of our broken homes together,
right.
You know, so it was such a beautiful day. And the most overwhelming thing for me, aside from, you know, being concerned about the wedding, the weather, was my family and her family being around each other, getting along and everything. And, they were fantastic. It was so wonderful. Even my mom's boyfriend was getting along with my father-in-law, and her mom's or my mother-in-law's boyfriend was getting along with my mom's boyfriend. It was really cool.
It seems like days like that, everything doesn't matter. It's like everybody is just, you know, there for you guys and for the moment, you know, and their problems don't matter during that day, you know?
Yeah. And that was better than any gift anybody could have ever gotten us, you know? Because I am not the kind of guy that asks for a lot. In fact, when they were asking us, you know, what kind of stuff do you want for your wedding? You know, do you have a wedding registry? You know, we created this blog spot and basically what I did was give us fucking gift cards, you know, cause I don't like asking for anything, you know, it's a terrible thing to be, I don't like being petty like that, you know?
Yeah.
And, my family coming together was the best gift that I could have ever asked for. And I also finally got to meet one of my mom's oldest friends who, actually came down from Canada. So she was at the wedding and, you know, she was like, so when are you going to have a kid?
Yeah. That always starts.
Yeah. Yeah. And it did, man. And And as soon as I was like, well, you know, it's going to cost $10,000 just to have the baby. And they looked at me like, what? Apparently in Canada, they don't have that worry.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, let's not talk about
politics,
the healthcare,
but anyways,
and politics and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
But that was kind of the cool things. Like, there was a lot of culture shock in that, and it was really nice. And my nephew, Bodhi, who, man, at the rehearsal dinner, it was so cool. Because if I could have a child, Bodhi would be the kid that I want, you know? So basically, he had Legos at the rehearsal dinner, and I had my Legos in my pocket, so...
As you would, yeah.
Yeah. So,
as you do.
Yeah. And we just hung out and everything, and during the wedding, like, he was kind of like, aside from my wife being, you know, the one who ground me throughout the entire wedding, and my best man, Ben, man, my nephew actually grounded me quite a bit, because throughout the entire time, I was like, hey, man, if you want to go get these bubbles, you know, you can be in charge of the bubbles, you know? It's like, it was really cool. And
nice.
I actually gave him a gift, because I knew that being at the wedding was going to kind of be boring. So what I gave him was a Lego Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. truck with Hawkeye in it. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting that at all. He was like, oh, this is so cool. But
you know, our wedding was very it was a little bit different. It was very laid back. We actually got married at Justice of the Peace, just because we didn't want to worry about any, because, you know, differences in religion and all that kind of stuff. It was just
sure.
easier to do it that way.
Yeah.
And then we had, you know, family there, and then we did a luncheon afterwards where everybody else came to.
Right.
And it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a great day.
Yeah.
Got drunk that day too.
Ours was absolutely a non-traditional and a non-religious wedding.
Yeah. Ours was too.
We actually quoted Mark Twain and Albert Einstein in the ceremony. So it was
cool.
It was beautiful. So, you know, I had a good time, and I know that I missed out quite a bit on some happenings on Metal Geeks. And
yeah, I mean, you've been missed, but I mean, we're back to the schedule now. We're going to be doing episodes bi-weekly now.
Yep.
Or if we can, weekly. We never know.
Yeah.
Something important could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and now I actually have a – one of my gifts was a Best Buy gift certificate from my father.
Yeah.
And I used the rest had some extra cash left over. And I bought a brand new computer for like $267. So I only paid out of pocket $167.
Nice. So that's why you sound so much better.
Yeah. I'm actually using the podcasting microphone, the OG.
The original one,
yeah.
from the Dead Zone days.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, man, I mean, if people, a little behind the scenes, for a while, you know, your computer was gone, and we talked about that on the show before, but
right.
it died. It died an honorable death.
Yep.
And for a while, we were doing what we could, so we were, you know, I guess you were, not to give anything away too much, but you were using your iPhone to record your audio.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
through Skype.
Yeah,
so,
I'm totally
and it sounded okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't spectacular, but it got the job done.
Yeah, and...
Exactly.
In fact, when we were interviewing... I can't remember his name now, but it was the guy who did the Cradle of Filth.
Kurt Amaker.
Yeah, Kurt Amaker.
You can never remember that dude's name.
Yeah, I know. But when we were recording that, I was actually laying down on my futon. So
so you can't do that anymore.
No, I'm sitting in the chair.
That's right. So let's talk about some Metal Geeks happenings. Definitely last episode, number 37, we had one of our favorite guests came back on to take your place as a guest host. And that was Larry Roberts from November's Doom, and we had a lot of fun geeking it out.
Yeah, I actually listened to it, and thank you very much, Larry. You, yeah, I am hitched, and I have gone that route. But Just as you and Carrie both know, being married is a wonderful thing. I can't express how happy and glad I am that you came in onto the show, and I can't wait to have you on again.
Yeah, I mean, there was more talk about the Monkees episode. So.
Yeah.
And I found another metal guy that is really into the Monkees, and that's James Rivera from Hellstar.
What?
Yup.
Well, there you go.
So they're out there. We just need to find more of them.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I was going to go to MegaCon last weekend.
Right.
I think it was last weekend. Anyways, and we woke up in the morning and looked at the line, and, you know, it was a clusterfuck. It's an hour to drive out there, which is not a problem. But waiting in line for 2 hours, that is a problem. And then driving back home for another hour, that's 4 hours of waiting, and that's not cool. So I didn't go, but what I was going to do was I was actually going to give our Metal Geek sticker to the guy who does Tell Him Steve Dave.
Oh, yes.
Brian, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can pitch in another $5 and you can hand it to him at the Houston Comic-Palooza. Because he's huge into metal.
Which is weird. One of the shirts that he's been wearing on this season of the show is Rusty Cooley, who is a local guitar player from Houston. He was in Outworld, and the singer from Outworld is now the vocalist for Firewind as well. So
yeah. And, he even said in an interview I was reading about, he said something along the lines of, there is a possibility for metal in comics to be, to coexist. And the first thing I thought of was, like, how in the fuck has he not heard us yet? Because, you know, we're metal geeks, we're metal guys just like him that fucking geek out about things, and there are tons of metalheads out there in metal bands that actually fucking geek out too. So hopefully when you see him at the Houston Comic Palooza, we can give him a sticker and he can wear it. Maybe how fucking cool would it be if he put the sticker on the damn counter at the Secret Stash?
I would like to get him a t-shirt, truthfully.
Well, we can get him a t-shirt.
So let's talk about Houston Comic Palooza. We have big news about the podcast.
Yeah.
We are officially one of the sponsors of Comic Palooza 2014.
Ooh,
it's fucking awesome, man.
That is awesome. Yeah.
If you go to www.comicpalooza.com, look at the bottom of the page on sponsors, you will see our logo. And if you are a listener of the show and you want to go to Comic Palooza and you're going to be there in Houston May 23rd through May 26th, we have a special code that you can actually save money on your tickets. Go to the website, go to comicpalooza.com/register, put in the code MetalGeek, and you're going to save $5 off a weekend pass or $3 off a one-day pass. And you know how much the tickets are?
No.
They're fucking cheap, dude. I got to tell you. Let's see. Got to pull this up. That's what she said. Adult four-day passes right now, if you buy them online, are $55. For 4 days.
Wow.
Most conventions, $55 will get you for 1 day.
Right.
If you have a kid and you want to bring your kid, it's $12 for 4 days.
That's crazy.
And if you use that Metal Geeks code, Metal Geek, you'll save another $5.
Well.
And a 1 day ticket is $20. $20 for 4 day convention.
Wow.
So guess who some of the guests are going to be?
I'm going to take a couple of guesses here.
Let's do it.
Okay. We're going to have I'm talking like I'm at the Comic Palooza.
We're going to throw in some gas money. You're going to come.
Peter Davison, who was the fifth Doctor in...
The fifth Doctor in Doctor Who.
Yep.
We have a lot of Doctor Who guests. Everybody from Peter Davidson. Let's see. I'm trying to think of all the Doctor Who guests. John Barrowman is going to be there, also from Arrow, which is pretty cool. My wife is really excited for that one.
You know,
she just screamed from the other room. Hell yeah!
Let's see, you got Colin Baker.
Colin Baker, that's right.
Sylvester McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
And
also from The Hobbits.
And Paul McGann.
That's right.
And I also just saw something that kind of threw me off, and I wasn't expecting this. He is one of the he's not on Doctor Who, but he actually is probably one of the unsung cult heroes of pop culture. His name is Elwes. From The Princess Bride. He was Wesley.
And we have the same name, so he's automatically
he's cool
top in my book.
Yeah. Now I really think that the whole just in general the comic book guests you have.
Oh my god, dude, it's amazing.
I'm going to request that, you know, I'm going to PayPal you some cash. I want a sketch from Greg Capullo.
Yes, but that's perfect because we have number one, we have Joe Jusco. We have Mike Mignola, the creator of fucking Hellboy, is going to be there. I'm excited for that.
Which, by the way, I have a free comic for you.
Sweet. I think I picked that up as well, too.
Oh, well, then it's mine, then.
It's yours.
Neil Adams you're going to have there.
Yes, Neil Adams, Arthur Sudam is going to be there again. Fucking Jim Steranko, legendary Marvel. Roy Thomas, one of the original, right after Stan Lee left as editor-in-chief of Marvel, he took his place.
That's crazy.
I mean, then we have everybody from, speaking of Marvel, we have Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. We have five people from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show.
I see that. And
Elizabeth Henstridge, oh my God.
I'm going to need, even though I'm a married man, and I'm going to need you to tell Elizabeth Henstridge that she is one of my top five, and my wife gives me permission.
Is she on the list?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah, she is so fucking cute.
Oh my god. And I'm not going to say anything else. I don't want to get in trouble.
Hey, no, man. I am absolutely okay with that.
And we also have Ming-Na Wen, who is Agent May on the show, who was also the voice of Mulan from Disney.
Really?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Brett Dalton, who plays, I can never think of his name, Ward?
Agent Ward, yeah.
We have the guy, J. August Richards, is that right? Yeah. He was on Angel at one point, and now he's Deathlok on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And get this.
Oh, okay.
We have Clark Gregg.
That's huge.
We have Coulson. He's been announced. He is final. And if you are a fan of the Power Rangers, which I'm personally not, but I know a lot of people are.
Yeah, I'm not at all, actually. But
we have like four or five of the original Power Rangers that are going to be there.
David Yost?
Yeah, David Yost, Walter Jones.
Karen Ashley. Austin St. John. And Johnny Young Bosch.
Yep. So as well as, let's go back to the comic people. We mentioned Jim Steranko, Neil Adams is going to be there, Brian Johnson, Michael Zapsik, and Ming Chen from Comic Book Men. James O'Barr, the creator of The Crow, will be there. Shane Davis, let's see, Don Rosa. And if you don't know him, he's he took basically Carl Barks' place after he passed away,
right,
doing Donald Duck and Uncle Scrooge comics. That's pretty big.
That is big.
Like we said, Michael Golden is going to be there. Greg Capullo, Sam De La Rosa, Mike Mignola, Roy Thomas. I mean, and there's more to come.
For anybody out there who likes Neil Adams and you don't listen to Fat Man on Batman, I just want to throw this out there real quick.
Yes.
I listened to all three episodes. It's a three-part podcast where Neil Adams talks about his youth, his getting into comics, and his involvement in helping the modern-day comic book artist and former creators actually get the recognition they deserve. So basically, like, he is – Neil Adams is the equivalent of punk rock when it comes down to music. He's basically like, fuck you corporations. I'm the creator. I'm the creative genius. You are just the people who are helping me get out there.
Yes, sir. I totally agree. He's awesome, man. I'm looking forward to meeting him big time. And I've got to preface this. I have to say, I am the social media coordinator for Comic Palooza now. So
there you go.
That's, and if you guys, if you're out there and you listen to the show and you want to actually volunteer and to be on my team, send me an email, metalgeekspodcast@gmail.com, and I'll hook you up. We'll get you going.
Actually, you know, you should do an image on the Metal Geeks profile so we can put that out there, because if people don't – not everybody sits there and listens to the podcast. We have to admit that. But yep. Anybody who is on our Facebook or our Instagram or Twitter feed, they'll see that. They'll be like, holy shit, you know. So anyways –
I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's about 6 weeks away. We have a meeting this afternoon. We've been doing a lot of promotions. Like yesterday, we were at one of the local Edwards Marquee Theaters, giving away stuff. We had a lot of swag and, you know, Captain America shirts and water bottles and just a lot of cool stuff going on. And I saw the movie yesterday too.
Well,
but we won't get into that now.
Yeah, hold on a second. I want to point out something, because today is Sunday, April 6th.
Correct.
And that would mean it's WrestleMania 30 day. And you have professional wrestlers, legends of professional wrestlers going to be there.
That is true.
You're going to have Kevin Nash, who, if you don't know who Big Daddy Cool is, you need to get out of my life. But no, he was Diesel back in the WWF early days. He was also in WCW. He was one of the founding members of NWO. And last night he was actually just on the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony, inducting his very, very close friend Scott Hall, who was AKA Razor Ramon.
Who else is going to be there in the wrestling world?
Now, this one is one that I'm personally, like, if I can make it there, which I don't know, because my vacation time's now set, because I'm spending my honeymoon in New York City and we're going to New York Comic Con. So
that's right.
In any case, one of my favorite childhood professional wrestlers and all around, the guy who has the most swagger when he's in the ring, the Bret the Hitman Hart. You have no idea. I don't know whether you follow him or not, but
I do not.
He is actually a fucking artist. He's a comic book geek, and not a lot of people recognize that, but he does a lot of great art. He's a good storyteller, and he's overall a geek. Plus, he loves metal.
Nice. Well, we need to try to get him on the show then.
Yeah. Oh, God, that'd be awesome. I don't know if I can handle that, actually.
we need to really think about trying to get you down here, man. I mean, you have a place to stay. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, it's not that. It's the
time off. Yeah, I understand.
I've already allocated all my time off, because I took some time from my right after my wedding and, well, through my wedding and everything.
Yeah, of course. We'll talk about that when we're not, you know, recording a show.
If somebody wants to sponsor me, absolutely. I'm down.
Speaking of, so don't forget, again, if you want to go buy your ticket, go to the website and use the online code MetalGeek, and you will save money. Saving money is good.
Absolutely it is.
Do you know where else you can save money on the interwebs?
Going to thevinyldead.com.
That's right. Go ahead.
So you can go on to thevinyldead.com and save 10% on any of your geeky needs, from items such as Funko Pops, because I myself am a freaking Funko Pop fanatic.
If you're coming to Comic Palooza and you want to get your Agent Coulson Funko Pop autographed by Clark Gregg, save 10% by ordering it from thevinyldead.com by using the promo code MetalGeeks10.
That's brilliant, actually.
See how I worked it all together?
Yeah, that's brilliant. And, you know, another thing they could do is if they wanted to get, let's see, I'm going to go into the Star Wars section of LevinoDagger.com, see if they wanted to get a Lando bobblehead Funko Pop, they could get Billy Dee Williams to sign it, too.
That's right, because we will have Billy Dee Williams at Comic Palooza this year as well.
Yeah.
And just don't ask him to dance, because, yeah. We won't go there.
And, man, I'm browsing over thevinyldead.com, and the DC Universe, they actually just added, and they're now out of stock of one of the characters, Starfire from Teen Titans, but they have all the two Teen Titans. They have the Batmobile for $24.95. They've got
Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, Teen Titans Go. Let's see. Now, if you go to Marvel's Funko Pops, I know that there's some brand new ones that are just coming out. They have all the Captain America 2. In fact, actually, I'm going to have to buy that masked version because I picked up, and don't tell anybody from The Vinyl Dead, but I picked up from Hot Topic the glow-in-the-dark Captain America bobblehead.
Nice. Actually, I picked up the black and white Captain America from Barnes & Noble.
Well, so, there you go. But I actually also picked up a unmasked version of the Winter Soldier. And,
oh, cool.
I see that we have Natasha here. We have Natasha now, but the only one I don't have is – well, the only two I don't have is the normal Captain America and the masked version of
Right, the Winter Soldier. I have my agent Coulson, and he's ready to go.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Did you post a picture of that?
I have not.
Well,
I've been slacking. I've been slacking on my pimpin'.
Carrie.
Oh my god.
Hey, look at this. They actually have a PX exclusive Vinyl Dead. The Walking Dead version of a bloody bandaged version of the Governor.
Which is the weird place that I've been seeing people post about online? There's some exclusives. Is 7-Eleven?
I have seen them online as well. I actually kind of want that Carl that's bloodied up.
Right. Yeah. Stay in the 7-Eleven, Carl. Stay in the 7-Eleven.
Yeah. And I'm not a big Rey Mysterio fan, but I do like having the alternate paint jobs because it's just fun for me.
And you have 7-Eleven in your area, right?
I do. Yeah, tons of them.
If you ever see a Carl, let me know. I would like one.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Because I do not have 7-Elevens anywhere. The nearest one is probably about 3.5 hours away.
What?
Yep, in Austin.
That is crazy.
Yep.
Lucky Nunu. We have...
We do not have 7-Elevens here in Houston right now.
Wow. I have 1, 2, 3 within a 10-mile distance.
See, you need to go Slurpee it up, man. I love Slurpees. It's one of those things, you know, if you don't have it around you and you go someplace where you do have it,
yeah, you're
going to enjoy it a lot more. But if it's around you all the time,
yeah,
you're not going to really enjoy it that much. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. Especially when I moved from Maryland down here. I don't have fucking blue crabs, and I love those motherfuckers, and I can't have them because they're not the same. They broil their crabs here, and that's not the way to do it.
How are you supposed to cook them?
Steam them.
Ah, yeah.
It's a completely different process.
So, before we go on to some topics, let's let everybody know where they can find us on the interwebs, and welcome any of our new listeners that are checking us out for the first time, possibly.
Yeah.
You can find us at www.metalgeekspodcast.com. You can also find us on rhymeswithgeek.com,
yep.
Which is really picking up. The website is just blowing up, man.
Yeah, it is. And I've been talking with Josh, and he actually runs the site, and now that my time is a little bit more freed, I'm going to be able to start writing some reviews, and I do owe him one sample. So maybe I'll work on that today. I've been very, awesome, very busy over the last month, man.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, yeah. Where else can they find us on the interwebs? Maybe the Instagrams and the Twitters and the Facebookies?
Yeah, you can find us on all those. In fact, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter. Just search for Metal Geeks. And on Instagram, it's Metal Geeks Podcast. Always posting crazy shit. And,
that's right. We post all the time. And while you're there on iTunes, leave us a review, subscribe to us, let all your friends know that you listen to the show. Help us build our army of Metal Geeks.
Yeah, I'm just, you know what? I have to say something real quick. Only because I get a hair up my ass and I have to blast somebody. So maybe this is going to be my only victim today. I'm looking through our Metal Geeks podcast feed, and you know, you posted this morning that very sad that Jason McCash from Gates of Slumber passed away.
Yes, sir. That is true. And we will be doing a tribute to him on the next MSRcast episode.
And whoever this Metal Through the Never posted after follow for Metal Picks, fuck you, man. You're getting blocked, dude. You are blocked. Fuck you.
Right.
You don't go onto somebody's page, you know, giving a, you know, showing respects for somebody, and you're going to try to promote yourself. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So fuck you, buddy. You're done.
I'm right there with you, man.
Okay. Well, I'm done.
All right. Can I help you step down from that soapbox?
Yeah. I just like having that power sometimes. I think I am the Ralph Garman of the show. The more I think about it.
Yeah. I'm the Kevin Smith. Yep. I used to look like him. Not so much anymore, but yeah. Oh, my God. All right. So where are we at?
Oh, I was telling Metal Through the Never that they fucking suck. Okay, enough. So, where we were was we were giving out our social media stuff. You can find us on Facebook, Metal Geeks Podcast. You can find us through MSRcast.com. You can find us on MetalGeeksPodcast.com. All that jive, turkey talk. Now,
yep. If people, let's give a little bit of background. We're both been in the podcasting business for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm coming up close to 10 years from doing MSRcast, which is fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, if I had not ended The Dead Zone in 2010, I would also have been doing it for 10 years.
Exactly, man. And then we brought you on board to MSRcast, and then we started up this little old podcast right now.
Yep.
And we have a lot of shit coming up on MSRcast, dude. We're doing an episode tonight with another special guest. His name is Sean. He is the Metal Pigeon. You can find him on Twitter at the Metal Pigeon. Very smart guy. He knows a lot about metal.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing some tributes to Dave Brocky, who sadly passed away a couple weeks ago. Odorous Urungus from Gwar, who are not in the know. And man, he was such a nice guy. I've got to interview him a few times, and growing up, man, I know we're going to talk about this more on MSRcast, but I, for about a 15-year period in my life, I saw them every time they came into town.
Wow.
I never missed a Gwar show. Yeah.
I'm kind of kicking myself in the ass because I could have seen him in November, but
I know, me too. You know, me too, man.
Things happen.
You grew up sort of close to where they were from too.
Yeah, in a sense, about
closer than me.
Yeah. You know, they play DC a lot, and I've actually seen Gwar play a few times. One of them was in DC at the 930 Club, and then one was actually down here in Orlando. And it was, you know what? I'm actually kind of glad that I saw them only two times, because I saw both concerts in probably the most monumental way, because looking at it, I saw them play the 930 Club, and that was the place that actually finally gave those guys a fucking chance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's very legendary. You can hear him talking about the 930 Club in his old interviews, and even talking in new interviews, talking about how, you know, I don't know why they gave me a chance, but they did. But
He's a genius. He was very talented. People looked at him, oh, he's just a guy wearing a fucking costume and, you know, talking about dick and fart jokes. But there was so much more to the guy and how creative he was. I mean, he created this whole scene called Gwar. I mean, just look at what they did.
Right.
It's pretty amazing, man.
And they did it the longest, and nobody could fucking touch them, you know?
No.
And I actually saw them playing outside at Sounds of the Underground in Orlando.
I was at the Sounds of the Underground show, too.
Now, the coolest thing about that for me was when I was watching them play, a fucking thunderstorm was on its way over. So you have Gwar playing and doing their theatrics and all that awesome shit. And in the background, no shit, fucking black thunderclouds with lightning coming down from the sky. It was fucking fantastic.
We have to have something to wash away all the piss and the jizz and all that kind of stuff that they put on the audience,
well,
and the blood.
You know, I have been sprayed in the face, neck, and chest with the cuttlefish.
I have too.
Yeah.
And I wore it like a badge of honor.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So coming up as well on episodes of MSRcast, let's talk about this. We have a lot of interviews that are, you know, in the works, in the edit mode, as it were.
In the queue.
In the queue. We got Primal Fear, Insomnium, Steve Zetrasouza from Exodus, and now his new band, Hatriot. we did a band interview with Anathema live, and when they played with him, oh my god, dude, that was just an amazing experience for me. Fucking, I'm a huge fan of those guys, and they were very generous to me and my wife, and we got to hang out with them backstage, and we talked about metal, we talked about music, and we talked about podcasts, actually.
That's awesome.
And I just did a couple days ago, I did an hour-long interview with James Rivera from Hellstar, and man, it's going to be a lot of fun when that comes out into these months, because they have a brand new album, and I've heard it. It's awesome.
Well, sounds like we have a lot of transcribing and editing to do.
Speaking of transcribing, that's the worst thing in the world. if you guys don't know, I'm now actually a writer for KNAC.com, and one of the interviews that I'm transcribing right now is Eddie Trunk from that, I hate to say it, but that metal show with quotes. It was a very, very interesting interview. I have a lot of respect for the guy now. I don't really like the show that much at all, but once the interview comes out, which will be very, very soon, you guys will, you know, get to know him a little bit better. And he admits that the show should not be called That Metal Show. He'll admit that right off the bat.
Interesting.
And he admits that he doesn't like death metal that much, but that's his opinion.
Right.
And you can't fault somebody for having a fucking opinion.
Of course.
So, and you, when you guys hear the episode, when you read the interview, that is, you'll really get to know a little bit more about the guy, which I had no idea, you know.
Well, very cool.
It was very eye-opening. And I've been thinking about releasing that as an episode. If anybody wants to hear it, we can do that as a bonus thing, you know.
I think so.
I mean, it was just a great time talking to him.
I think so. I think that would be a good idea.
So, moving on from all that stuff, we talked about, another concert that I did see recently. I saw Death Angel with Tear in Children of Boredom. Tear were fucking amazing. I was never able to see them live when they came on, like, the Pagan Fest tours. And they only got to play, like, five or six songs, but, man, the audience was really into them. Death Angel came out in... And I had no idea that Mark had, like, cut all his braids off.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what? Wait a minute. I had no idea that. It was very weird. I was like, wow. But, man, they came out and they thrashed it up, man. And then Children of Boredom came out, and we stuck around for one or two songs, and we left. You know, they have their place in the metal scene, but I'm just not a fan of them. And if you are a fan of Children of Bodom, you know, more power to you. It's just, I can't get into them. And, I mean, they are the great musicians, but, you know.
Yeah, everybody,
I'm just
going to
leave it there.
Everybody has their own taste. And some people's tastes suck.
Everybody has an opinion, and if your opinion is not like mine, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
It's something like that.
I agree.
So let's talk about some comic book stuff.
Yeah.
Because we do talk about comics.
Yes, we do. I've actually been reading quite a bit of the all-new Marvel now.
I've been dabbling in it. I've been sticking the company pen into it a little bit.
Nice. It's a lucky ink blotter. Now, if you...
wait, what?
Exactly. Well, since you haven't read as much, let's get your opinion on it first, because mine's probably going to be a little bit more long-winded, so go for it.
Which ones have you been reading?
I mean, all of them.
So, okay, I'm a little confused at what they're doing. They've already done the Marvel Now, right?
Yes.
So this is all new Marvel Now?
Yes.
So what happened to the stuff they did in the interim? Is it still canon? Is it still going on?
Such as what?
What they're doing is, like, I guess they're trying to create new starting off points for people that are not been into the series.
Right. Well, in a sense, because basically what the all new Marvel Now is a new venture in the story that was the fallout from the Phoenix destroying everybody's powers and killing Professor X. Now, so basically you had that whole story arc. Marvel Now was the fallout from that.
Right.
People trying to find their place back into the world after all that death and destruction of mutants and new mutants becoming powerful, and, you know, some people on a mission to kill certain people and catch certain people. And, you know, then you had the Age of Ultron in there, and then you had Thanos, Infinity. And now where the all-new Marvel Now is it's kind of the fallout from that aspect of the story.
Okay.
So, for instance, we didn't have any Moon Knight comics at all in Marvel Now, but now we have the all new Marvel Now, which continues from the fact that Mark Spector is absolutely fucking out of his mind, and he's awesome.
Yes, he is.
But he's awesome. And that's pretty much what's happening right now with Moon Knight. And I believe it's being written by Warren Ellis.
Okay, he is a great writer. I haven't read it yet. I believe I read like a preview of the new Moon Knight, and he was a little bonkers. I tell you what I have been reading recently. I just started. I'm a huge fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, what Bendis has been doing.
Yeah,
and I'm going through the issue by issue the Trial of Jean Grey.
Yeah,
that it's Guardians of the Galaxy as well as the all new X-Men. Which is the easy way to say it. It's the older, younger X-Men now living in the present.
Right.
So you have Jean Grey, you have, you know, the younger Cyclops. It's all a little, it would destroy Doc Brown's mind, basically, from Back to the Future.
Yeah, that is the one thing that I don't like about what they're doing, is pretty much what they've done is absolutely destroy space-time continuum.
Yes. It's going to cause a paradox, Marty.
Well, that's the thing. What I like about it is the new take on it, because you know how, like, it creates a new paradox? Fine, but kind of not. You know, basically, you know, it's not destroying anything.
You know my favorite joke at Disney World?
What's that?
The Jungle Cruise, which has a lot of cheesy jokes, right?
Right.
My favorite joke of all time is when you're getting off the Jungle Cruise and you park between the two docks, right?
Right.
And then your skipper says, okay, everybody, take a look to your left, see the dock? And everybody goes, yes. Everybody, take a look to the right, see the dock? Yes. You know what we'd call that here in the Jungle Cruise? It's a paradox.
That's cheesy, but awesome.
Yes. That just reminded me of that joke.
Yeah.
That and the backside of water, but... We won't go there.
But that's pretty much, I mean, that is pretty much what it is. They've actually thrown out the whole window of, you know, even if you do time travel, it's not going to ruin, you know, the future or the past or the present. You know, well, like people like Miguel O'Hara is absolutely out of 2099.
Where is he at now?
He's actually in Superior Spider-Man.
Is he? I have not been keeping up with Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's
So Spider-Man 2099 is now living in
modern
era.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah. And in fact, I don't want to give too much away because of the Amazing Spider-Man coming back, but
yeah.
If you haven't read Superior Spider-Man issue 30, you're missing out.
Where's the jumping point back for me? Where should I start back up at? Is 30 a good spot?
No. I would jump back into it probably around
number one?
No. I'd probably jump in around 25 because I think it's when the Goblin Nation starts up, and that's a huge, huge story arc that twines in with where they currently are going with Peter Parker. So if that's any bit of a hint for you, it's time to start reading Superior and getting current.
Okay.
Yeah, because
I will do that.
Yes, The Amazing Spider-Man is coming back in April.
But it's still written by Dan Slott.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, because what was that other one that Dan Slott just did?
The terrible Silver Surfer. That is by far the most terrible fucking comic book I have ever written.
You know, and I like Mike Allred. I like his art style because he used to do, you know, with the Generation X back in the day and Madman and all that.
Yeah. But back to Silver Surfer. Yeah. Dude, fucking Silver Surfer was terrible.
And I'm sorry, I was wrong. It wasn't Generation X. It was X-Force that he took over for a while, Mike Allred.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm also not very happy with the artwork right now on X-Force. I don't know what it is, but whoever this guy is...
Are you talking about Uncanny X-Force?
No. X-Force. There is actually just a regular X-Force.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh?
The
Cable and X-Force, right?
Well, that's now... Cable and X-Force is no longer...
Already?
Yeah. Which is terrible because I loved how that all worked together. They should have not ended that, my opinion. But right now it's X-Force with the team consists of Marrow, Psylocke.
Oh yes, fucking horrible.
And Phantom X. And Doctor
Great character. Great, all great characters, though.
Yeah, and Dr. Nemesis is still a part of X-Force, but they don't consider him a part. He's just kind of, like, hanging out inside the fucking lab the entire time.
He's like the Beast now.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But whoever this guy is, I'm not very familiar with his artwork, but his name is Rock-He Kim. I don't like your artwork, sir.
I don't like the writing in that series. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. When I first read the issue number one, I didn't grasp where they were going with it.
Yeah.
But now that I'm reading number two, I do get it a lot more. And
I just don't like it.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the artwork really does fuck up the entire delivery. You know, it's...
I don't know. To me, it feels like... who writes this now?
His last name is Spurrier.
That's right. It feels like, to me...
C. Spurrier.
It feels like, you know, he writes the series in thoughts and ideas instead of writing it as a script, and he just hands this shit to the artist and he's like, I don't know. I'm just gonna draw this one.
Right.
It just doesn't flow well together.
Right. And you know, that's the one thing that I think that it might start panning out with more issues, but honestly, again, I'm gonna have to ask them, Marvel, please.
Just like a TV series, I always try to get something four episodes, to really know if I like it or not.
Now, the one comic series right now that is absolutely phenomenal that has reached issue number five now is X-Factor.
Yes.
It was written by Peter David.
Peter David, he's a god to the X-Factor, the writing. I mean, he's in the whole last series is great.
Yeah. They're actually coming up on issue number 6 here next week, I believe. The artist, let's see, his name is...
Oh, I see. Issue number 5 is going to have Warlock back in.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm a huge fan of that character.
Trying to find.
So are they gonna have Doug Ramsey as well?
I don't know, but they're still introducing new characters in that.
I think I'm about an issue behind because the last one I read was when they were fighting Danger and she joined at the very end.
Yeah.
Not to spoil anything.
Yeah, that was issue number 4.
That was 4.
Yeah, so you're an issue behind. It's published, and then if comes out next week and you haven't read it, then you'll be 2 issues behind.
I really like the series. I mean, it's a great concept. It's a, what if a corporation owned a superhero team and could pay and purchase a team, and that's what it is.
Yeah, and they could not have gathered the most spectacular duo, I think, is Gambit and Quicksilver together.
Yeah, they hate each other.
They do. They fucking hate each other, and I love it.
I mean, the 4 major members of the team, you got Gambit, Polaris, Quicksilver, and Danger. And I was a huge fan of X-Factor back in the day in the 90s. I was a huge fan.
I
love these characters.
What's interesting about Polaris is, you know, she doesn't have any broken powers.
No. And she was, I can't remember, I know they explained it at one point, but she was bad at one point? Or
yeah. Well...
Wasn't she a Skrull or something for a while? That's why, because she was gone, maybe.
Right. Well, what I'm thinking is the entire X Factor is essentially Marvel's replica or rebuttal to Suicide Squad, because they are owned. Argus controls Suicide Squad, and this company owns the X Factor. So all these people are pretty much hated by the heroes out there, like Polaris, Quicksilver, you know, he can't be trusted. Gambit's a thief, you know, all these people, and Danger as well. Now I see 2 people, and I'm not sure who they are in this image that I'm looking at. And they doesn't even say in the picture what these 2 characters' names are. Huh. But there's 2 more characters that they haven't introduced yet, and...
Right, yeah, I'm looking at the newest issue, and it has Unknown.
Yeah.
Where they show, you know...
Yeah.
The character names.
So it's so interesting how they're doing it, but I'll be honest, the first issue of X-Factor, Peter David... had some really intense panels, but I didn't really get what they were doing. Mm-hmm. But the second issue came out, it was much better, and the third issue totally got me hooked. So
let's go back to this Silver Surfer. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, fuck Silver Surfer right now. You know, it sucks because it almost seems like Dan Slott wants to destroy the fucking... You know, I know there's a lot of people out there that got kind of upset with him with Superior. Now, I'll admit... I am a huge Superior Spider-Man fan,
yeah.
But I don't like the fact that he had to kill off, you know, Peter Parker in order to, you know, get his character. But right now, you know, he's got the Silver Surfer going, and I don't know what the hell he's doing. You know, Silver Down, Silver Up, treating your surfboard like a fucking dog.
Right. Yeah. Okay, let's just move on then.
Yeah. Another great comic book to get into right now, and I'm going to have to say it's top 5 right now of all comics that I'm reading. Number 1 would be Magneto.
I did read the first issue of this. It was really, really good.
And the second issue is just as good.
Yeah? I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yes, we are.
Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was funny. But Magneto is the fallout of him dealing with the team of the Uncanny X-Men, which would be Scott Summers' version of X-Men.
Right.
And
Scott Summers is still the douchebag.
Yeah. And Magneto was like, fuck this shit. He starts losing his mind. And now he's going by his original name, which would be Max.
Okay.
And he's kind of like, right now, he's like living rogue.
He's sort of on the lam, yeah, type of deal, right?
He's going incognito. He's kind of acting, in a sense, like a mobster, you know? The way I could compare the story writing right now is kind of like Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight meets Breaking Bad meets some sort of a Hitman TV show where, like,
if
he gets right. a name on his list and he's going to go take him out, you know?
If you are a fan of Magneto, if you've never read the graphic novel that came out a couple years ago called Testament, it was about his life as a kid in a concentration camp during World War II with the Nazis.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude, that is an amazing read. Everybody who teaches history or knows about history should be reading that, because there's a teacher's version of that book that you can purchase that has discussion points and things after the kids read it. It's really amazing, and it's pretty meaningful if you've never read it.
Well, the other cool thing about what they're doing right now is I can't recall any time, you know, again, I got out of comics for a long time, and now I'm back into them full force, and I can't recall any time in history that any writer didn't focus on the current Magneto or a
yeah.
future Magneto and a child Magneto, but they never talked about him as a teenager. And mm-hmm. that's what they're doing right now. And it's kind of like, you know, as a young man out of the concentration
So he's younger in this one, right?
No. His flashbacks are of when he was in his early age.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's kind of like he's going through this. What he's realizing is that a lot of what he's going through right now was very similar to when he was a teenager. And you can't trust anybody, blah, blah, blah. He's going to build another Brotherhood of Mutants squad. And there was one.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very, very, very cool.
So have you been reading The Inhumanity, which is, I guess, there's a new series that just came out called Inhuman?
I have not read that yet, but it's in my queue.
Yes, me too. I know it's the artwork is done by Joe Madureira. Just call him Joe Mad.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, he took a lot of years off from drawing comics to video games.
Mm-hmm.
He did both Darksiders games, and, you know, when his company got sold off, he left before that. And now he's back to drawing comics. And this is, I think, one of his major first ones.
Really?
So, Inhuman. I'm going to read it this afternoon, hopefully. It's sitting right here ready for me.
Nice. I'm going to probably have to read it too, so we can talk about the next Metal Geeks. And, yeah.
My buddy RD, just picked it up and read that, and he said it was a lot of fun. And he's not a huge, he's just getting into comic books a little bit.
Right.
So he's sort of asking me about what's good and what's not and, you know, what to look into.
Sure.
But he brought this to my attention. I didn't realize it was out yet.
Have you read any of the new Uncanny Avengers?
I have been reading it. I'm very far behind on it, though.
It's kind of weird because this seems to be set in the future, where Havoc is in the future. He's stuck in the future, which is very bizarre.
Is that what's going on with it?
Yeah. And then there's...
I'm looking at my... I guess 18 was the last one or something?
Yeah, which 18 turned into number one. For
right,
some
and I'm still here on number 14. I'm looking at my digital copy of it.
Yeah,
I don't know. People are going to probably dislike me for saying this. Not that Rick Remender is a bad writer by any means.
Right.
He's just not my favorite. It's hard for me to get into his stuff, I think. And a lot of it has to do with some of the art style. And I mean, I'm looking at the new one right now, and Daniel Acuña is doing a great job. But
right.
Some of the minimalistic style that they've been doing recently,
it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Have you read the new Ghost Rider?
I have not. That's in my queue as well.
Okay.
It looks very strange.
It is very strange. I personally was talking to my buddy Hamid, who's in I Snapchat the dude like almost every fucking day. We were talking about it, and he asked me what I thought about it, and I even had this on my Instagram. And I was like, you know, I'll quote what I said. I think it was simple, great writing, phenomenal art, but I wish they would have created another character rather than remake another Ghost Rider. You know, that I think that the character...
I thought that's what they did. I thought it was a different version of a Ghost Rider.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They shouldn't do that. They should, just create a, hot rod skull face, instead of Ghost Rider. You know, make somebody who can be risen from the dead go back on vengeance rather than being the Ghost Rider. I know it's a spirit of vengeance, but,
right.
There's got to...
So it's not the same. It's not the same character, then. It's not the same, human.
It's not the same human, but it's the same character of Ghost Rider.
It's the same evil spirit.
Of vengeance, exactly.
Right.
And, there are other emotions that will allow you to get vengeance if you have hatred. They're focusing on the spirit of vengeance, but maybe they should be focusing on a different type of spirit because, now that they have, what's his name? Johnny Blaze. He's the original.
Such an original name for somebody called Ghost Rider. I don't know. Just call him Blaze.
Yeah. So he's the OG, and then you've got a female Ghost Rider, and now you have a Mexican Ghost Rider. It's just...
There's a female?
Yeah.
I don't even know that.
Yeah. She's in Thunderbolts early on in the issues, if you go back and read it.
Okay.
But, it just goes on to the whole thing where, they're kind of... It's like, what are they going to do now? Start creating, multiple versions of Cyclops? They're going to create multiple versions of Rogue?
Well, they've sort of done that by bringing the younger Cyclops into it.
Right. Well, there you go. Are they going to have multiple versions of...
They're like, well, how do we... Right, the movie versions will be.
I know, but the point is that...
Yeah. How do they write themselves out of a corner?
Yeah, I mean, what they've done is they've created Ghost Rider, Spider-Man, Wolverine, because now you have X-23, you've got, Logan, now you've got Jimmy Hudson. They're all different types of Wolverines. With the adamantium and healing,
I like it. I like X-23. I like that character,
though. I do too. But what they're doing is they're branding the version of superhero. So instead of branding it as, making, kind of like what they're doing with restarting, rebooting all the comics, they could have just continued Spider-Man from 700 to 701 instead of having to go back and do it issue number 1, volume 2.
Right. That kind of stuff gets very confusing to people. It's convoluted. You're like, okay, they're redoing number 1 again. What series is this? It gets very confusing to people.
Exactly.
I wish they didn't do it.
It's just as confusing as when I'm trying to say that the Ghost Rider does not need to be another person.
Right.
And I
understand why they did this kind of stuff in the 90s, because they wanted to make more money, but we can just rebrand it and call it number 1 again, and people will buy the shitload of it.
So, yeah,
but
I mean, it's
not like that anymore, really. I mean,
right.
It's just...
I mean, now they have the Scarlet Spider, they have Spider-Man 2099, they have Ultimate Spider-Man. They're basically, they're branding the superhero rather than the comic.
I see your point.
Yeah. So what they should be doing is they should be continuing Ghost Rider number 1 all the way up instead of having to restart it all over again. And it's basically it's their way of generating money, and I know that's what it is. Because they'll put fucking Wolverine in 17 comics, they'll have Spider-Man in 13 comics, Captain America in 17 comics. You know, it's like they're doing that because they want to boost the money. But as shown, if you just stick with the original character, like Peter Parker, your number one relaunch already has 500,000 pre-orders.
Right.
You know, that shows that the original character usually overshadows any sort of sub-character of the main. So now you've got are you aware of the Human Torch? You know, like you've got
right. The original Human Torch from like the 40s is now back.
Yeah. Now I'm reading the Invaders, and the Invaders is really fucking good.
I've read the first issue.
I'm up to issue 3, and it's awesome. I love that they're using Namor. I love that they're using Jimmy Hammond, the original Human Torch.
Right.
And a little bit of side history here. I am a it's a little bit of a trivia. You know, I haven't been doing Jam Metal facts recently, but you know, here's a little bit of one. The original Human Torch was actually co-created by our current Dr. Nemesis under the name of Dr. I think it was Dr. Death. He was actually an agent of Hydra back in the 40s.
Speaking of Hydra, well, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I know he was one of the original, you know, early characters.
So he created the cyborg of Jimmy Hammond, the original Human Torch, which, by the way, is, in my opinion, way cooler than Johnny
Flame On Boy.
Yeah.
I do have one thing I have to say on that. Hail Hydra.
That's kind of weird for you to say that, because you're Jewish.
Hey, that's true.
That's weird.
You'll see what I mean
they
later.
They have infiltrated you.
You will see what I mean later. I'm not going to say anything.
But, and one last comic that I have to put out there that I really, really, really fucking like, and everybody out there listening should read it, would be The New Punisher.
Yes, agreed.
He is a brutal...
I mean, disagree. I hate that.
He is brutal in this comic now. I mean, he was always brutal anyways, but... He's now out in Los Angeles. He's taken over L.A. and
fighting Electro.
And the fucking drug cartel, which is – the Punisher is taking the fucking drug cartels head on. That's badass.
They're more powerful than any kind of fucking mob.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. So,
but they can hire Electro before he comes back into the regular Marvel universe.
Right. I know. Like that fucking Amazing Spider-Man relaunch is pushing it to be the belief that Electro will be making his return to the Marvel Universe.
Nope, already returned.
Yeah, he's already been in Punisher.
He's already been punished.
Yeah. Fucking Dan Slott. He's so out of touch with the other comic book writers.
Yep. So, thank you for tuning in to Comic Book Hour.
Yeah, I know, right? Sorry, I have a tendency of doing that.
No, it's great. I think what we're going to do next time is we're going to both read that Inhuman number one. We'll definitely talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to catch up on the Trial of Jean Grey because it's all out now. I just wanted to wait for it all to be out to read it all.
Yeah, it's really good. I've read it, and it's fantastic.
And hopefully by – I'm a huge fan of Guardians of the Galaxy now, and I'm super looking forward to that movie. But hopefully by the next episode, you will see Captain America Winter Soldier. We can have our discussion on that.
I'm hoping so, because next weekend I won't have any plans other than having a yard sale. So
nice. So I mean, definitely, man. It's a great movie. It's not the best Marvel movie. I'm gonna say that, but it is really probably high up there. It's everything you expect it to be. It's very different in tone than any other Marvel movie ever. It's very much let's see, how would I describe it without giving anything away? You know, it's a murder mystery type of movie, you know, like espionage and thriller, and which is weird because the two guys that directed it, Joe and Anthony Russo,
mm-hmm.
they got their start doing comedies. They did the pilot for Community. They did a lot of Community episodes. And, you know, it's like this movie doesn't really have a lot of weird, funny stuff in it.
So it's very serious?
It's serious, but it doesn't take itself too serious, you know what I mean?
Right.
But there's a lot of character development. Captain America is not so much of a douche this time. And they give a lot of character development to a lot of different people that you wouldn't expect in the movie.
Right.
And it really does set up for Age of Ultron, for the Avengers of Age of Ultron. That's all I got to say on that one.
Okay.
So it's definitely worth seeing. It's go in with the mindset of it's not the Avengers, it's not the first Captain America, which was very, you know, campy and tongue-in-cheek, you know?
Yeah, they did a 1950s version of...
Right, which was great for what it was, because yeah. you had to do that for his origin story, you know what I mean?
Right.
This is more, if you've read Brubaker's, you know, Winter Soldier story, this is very much in that same vein.
Right.
It's very much the, you know, 70s thriller type story. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. I mean, there's some plot points where I'm just like, okay, whatever. But I see where they're going with it. And this movie does tie in heavily with the storyline of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you will, when you see this and you watch the show, you'll be like, oh, okay, I've seen what they've been doing here. It all starts to make sense, you know?
That's interesting.
So, I mean, a lot of people have been hating on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's starting to get a lot better. They're starting to reveal shit, and they're starting to be able to reveal stuff. I think my opinion on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if they released it not as a weekly show, if they just released it all together, like on Netflix or something,
right?
It would make a lot more sense.
Right.
But the next six episodes there's going to be no breaks between from now into the end of the season. So I'll give it another chance.
Pick it up after,
you don't have to watch like the rest of the first part of the season. Pick it up after, you know, they had that break and they came back. So,
okay.
And then watch, you know, the Winter Soldier and you'll be like, okay, I know what was happening now. I know what's going on. But you know, it's hard not to give anything away when you haven't seen it.
Right? No, I.
Because somebody had to spend their day at Epcot or some shit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because I'm a good husband, man. I bought my wife annual passes to Disney.
That's just a good. See, that's a good husband. You can be a good friend too.
Nice
no,
try.
No, I mean, I live too far away for it to be to worth it for me. But you know, I mean, I. That is cool. You know how much of a nerd I am for the parks and everything. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad you had fun, man. I mean,
yeah, man. We're actually going to be going back, not this weekend, but the following weekend, which is her birthday. And we're going to be going to the Magic Kingdom.
Nice.
So
go on the Jungle Cruise and hear the Paradox joke.
we actually just ordered our Magic Bands, which, if you're not familiar with it, I am absolutely going. Yes. See, what I'm doing actually is probably one of the coolest ways to do it, because I'm going in as an adult who has absolutely no experience with Disney. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm learning everything there is about it and the technology.
You know what we need to do? We need to get Paul Barry back on the show.
Yeah.
Now that you are going to be a regular there.
Yeah,
you could be our reporter on site at Disney World.
Well, I'm absolutely more than happy to help out in that aspect in any way. I also am I'm getting these things called a magic band.
Right, I saw the D23 and it looks pretty cool.
Well,
if it works,
it does work.
You have to report back on that.
Yeah. So,
because I want to hear all about you know, FastPass Plus, how well it works and if it does work at all.
Yeah. Well, a little bit information on that before we either end the show or change topics. I actually have an app called My Disney Experience, which you can link up with your card of your annual pass holder, and you can order a magic band for free off of the internet versus going to the park and paying $14 for a band.
Right.
And the coolest thing about it is not only do we get our own band, but we get our own box personalized with our own name on it. And I happened to order mine last night, and I don't know if you saw on the Instagram feed or not, but I'm taking Thanos with me to every adventure. So Thanos is also experiencing the Magic Kingdom and Disney World.
I just the one post you put with the Spaceship Earth ball behind him.
Yeah.
And the way you worded it, it was just weird that Thanos wants the big ball on his hand, but, you know.
But, you know, he's...
I didn't know Thanos was like that.
Yeah. Well, I actually got my band, and instead of... Because there was not enough room, you only have 9 characters to... Thanos will have this ball in his hands by the end of the night.
See, I have nothing against it. If it makes him happy, more power to him.
Yeah.
Well, no more power.
No homo.
You don't need any power. No homo.
Yeah. So he's
no more power to Thanos.
Yeah. So he's actually, that is the name of my magic band, is Thanos, because he's going on the adventures with me.
Nice.
So there was only 9.
Did you get a purple one?
No, I actually didn't. I got a blue one.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have mine personalized, and I'm probably going to get a Star Wars decal to put on it.
Nice.
And in fact, I've already been shopping for some R2-D2 ears. So I'm totally going in. I'm going all in. We're going Disney-fied this year. So anybody who's in our family, I apologize, but your whole life is going to be Disney for Christmas this year.
I can deal with that.
Yeah. Because,
you know, it's my birthday's coming up. I might have to make a trip down there.
Well, we get awesome discounts at hotels. We get discounts, free parking. I mean, literally, we spent, no more than $20 at the park yesterday, and that's unheard of, you know.
No, yeah, definitely.
The Squeeze Squad was handing out free apple squeeze food things, whatever it was. It's the gluten-free applesauce or whatever.
Okay.
This is an energy thing. I got 2 of them. You know, we also bought some alcohol. It was in France. We bought alcohol, and then we bought some sake in Japan, and that was it. I mean, and a pretzel with some cream cheese inside of it, which is fantastic. Got that in America. So
where?
In America.
In America.
Yeah. The one thing that we did ride, just one ride, which is Spaceship Earth. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the new Spaceship Earth? Because they added some stuff to it, and they have a new narrator now.
The narrator was awesome. It was very...
I believe it's Dame Judi Dench.
Really?
Yep.
Well, it was very nice. It was very... The touch screen was nice.
Yep.
Excuse me. I'm exhausted.
When the last time we wrote that, when I brought my nieces in many years ago, you're talking about the touch screen. It's on your car.
Yeah.
So when you're going backwards down the ride, it crashed on us.
Wow.
So we didn't get to do the experience. So they just let us stay on the ride and go around again without having to get off, which was a lot of fun. We got to see a little bit of the back, you know, the back area of the ride, you know?
You're right.
That's always fun.
Sorry, I got a message. And also, I think the newest part of it was the technology, the modern technology.
Yep, right. They have, like, Bill Gates and stuff in there now.
That was very nice. There was nothing wrong with it. I loved everything about it. At the top, I took a picture of Earth in space, which was really beautiful.
You know, we were watching Cosmos. We've been watching Cosmos on TV, and me and my wife both look at each other. We're like, this reminds me so much of Spaceship Earth. When they redo Spaceship Earth next time, they need to get Neil deGrasse Tyson to be the narrator.
Oh my gosh, that would be fantastic.
He could read the phone book and make it sound good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And he looks just like Cleveland from
Family Guy.
Family Guy.
My gosh.
And doesn't that make sense now that, you know, Seth MacFarlane's working on Cosmos and he was a fan, so he probably made Cleveland to look like him originally, you know?
Now that you mentioned it, I think you might be onto something.
Yeah.
Well, that was the only ride we did, but we walked around the world, they call it, twice.
Right.
And my wife, her birthday is coming up, and the person at the booth who gave us our annual passes, mm-hmm. her name was Vanessa. I know her. I doubt you hear this, Vanessa, but you were very awesome. You gave us some cool pins. You know, we greatly appreciate it. And, you know, she was genuinely happy to be working there. You can see it, you know.
See, that's the thing. There's the thing about Disney. This is going to be sound sugary and sweet and all that, but no matter how much money you spend, which going there is a lot of fucking money, a lot of damn money. It's different there. You feel better about yourself. Everybody is nicer there. It's just a different experience. And I've ran into a couple of douches that have worked there.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there are douches everywhere, but most people that work there are excited and happy to be there.
Yeah. And
they give that, little bit of extra, you know, what they call, like, I listen to a lot of Disney podcasts and they call it, it's magic. It really is.
Yeah. They were super cool. Everybody, you know, she got a happy birthday pin, even though her birthday's not until the 18th. We'll be going back in 2 weeks, for her, actual birthday at the Magic Kingdom. But we experienced Epcot as her birthday. So what we ended up doing was going through and, it was fucking neat because she wanted to do this, have everybody in every country wish her a happy birthday in their native tongue. So,
nice.
Which is really cool. And she got a video, and I'll see if I can repost it on the Metal Geeks if she posts it on Instagram.
Yeah. I would definitely like to see that. I'm sure everybody else would too.
Yeah. It was very neat. You know, she's Norwegian background, and, she actually had the Norwegian girls sing a happy birthday song, and they were absolutely
nice.
Really, happy to sing the song for us, which is cool.
I love that ride in Norway, in Nordvay.
Oh, Maelstrom.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, Maelstrom. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, definitely, man. When I come down there, I'll have to go with you guys and be like a personal guide or something. I know so many secrets and stuff, but
yeah. There was one thing that I actually didn't know about until recently. We're gonna have to do an early day out to Epcot. You can actually request to ride a Segway around Epcot.
Oh, yeah. It's a special tour, I believe.
It is, and we're going
to
do it.
That would be awesome. I would love to do that.
And
before, I wanted to do it before, but I was over the weight limit.
Right.
At one point, now I'm not, so, hey.
Well.
That's always good.
Yeah, I'm going to do it for sure. That's absolutely. I've ridden Segways before, and they're really fun.
I've never done one. I've never been on one.
We rode them around downtown Tampa. It's called Magic Carpet Glide. And
that's so cheesy.
Yeah, it was cheesy as hell, but it was really fun. I think it was like $75 maybe. But we rode them around, and I had never ridden one before in my life, and it was very intimidating, to be honest with you.
No, I will be going back to a Disney park in a couple months. I'll actually be going back to Disneyland for a couple of days with my film group.
Right.
And that's going to be a lot of fun because only two people, me and my professor, are the only people that have ever been there. And we're going to have six people, so those four people on this group has never been to Disneyland, never been to a Disney park.
Really?
And they've been to Universal, and they've been to, like, you know, Astroworld, Six Flags, and that kind of stuff, but it's a totally different experience, you know?
Absolutely. You know what's kind of cool? That now that you mentioned that, I forgot to mention this earlier. my brother-in-law and his girlfriend were actually arriving at Disneyland when we were riding the tram to get into Epcot.
See, you're keeping in the family on both sides of the country.
It's pretty cool. And Dan, you know, Danny's actually very, very Disney-oriented. I didn't grow up as a Disney fan, and I've said that on the podcast before. You know, yep. You know, I'm a Disney noob, but you know, I won't lie, man. You know, it's something very magical. It really is.
It sounds cheesy and it sounds fake, but it is true.
No, it's totally not fake. You know, no. It's absolutely true.
It hits you.
It does, man.
So I'm glad you had a good time. I think let's try to wrap it up now. I mean, we have a couple more some news stories about some movie stuff, and I think we'll wait till next week after you see Captain America to talk about more of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about, you know, The Walking Dead season 4.
Still have 2 left to watch.
Okay, so let's wait till you're finished on that, definitely.
Okay.
And we'll definitely spend some more time talking about some movie stuff after, you know, everybody had probably seen the movie by then. So it'll be safe to be a little spoilerific.
But, Game of Thrones starts up tonight.
Yep. I have HBO for free this weekend, so I'd actually be able to watch it. I won't have it, yeah, after that. But, you know, if somebody out there has an HBO Go password they want to throw my way and let me, you know, ride your coattails a little bit, I won't turn it down.
But, hey.
We can give you a discount code in trade.
There you go.
So, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Mighty Metal Geeks podcast. Thanks for tuning in, of course. Check us out on all the interweb places, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes.
Your mama's face.
Ooh.
Not yours, but theirs.
Okay. Okay. I'm glad you cleared that up for me.
Yeah.
Let's see. RhymesIsGeek.com, MetalGeeksPodcast.com, Altness.com. Check out ComicPalooza.com.
VinylDead.com.
VinylDead.com. iPorn.com. I don't know if that's a real one, but it might be.
I wouldn't doubt it.
We're not sponsored by them at all. Yet.
Yeah, not yet. We will be.
So, do you have any final comments you would like to make to our listeners?
You know what? You guys, you need to read some fucking comics.
There you go.
Read more comics.
Read more M-O-A-R.
Exactly. Hit us up. Be communicative on Instagram. You know, we're always posting shit on there, and we absolutely will reply to you. And fucking communicate to us. And let us know what you think about comics, you know?
Be interactive. I mean, if we have a topic that we talked about on the show, let us know what your opinion is. We do want to know. You can, you know, Instagram it to us, Twitter, MetalGeeksPodcast@gmail.com. That's our email. Check out both of us guys on MSRcast as well. That's our heavy metal podcast that we do, which we'll actually be recording another episode this evening.
Yeah. And you know what? Let us know who you want to hear on the show. We can make it happen.
Now that we're back in the swing of things, we're going to be getting a lot more guests and special interviews on the show.
Yeah, and if you want to harass anybody, harass people on Twitter, Instagram that you want to see on Metal Geeks and say, hey, we want to see you on the Metal Geeks podcast, or hear you, rather. So, and harass us about who you want to have on the show.
Fuck. Yep, just harass us. We like it.
Yeah.
We said ass way too many times there.
And, yeah, almost turned into hairy ass.
Hairy ass, man. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. That happens when you get older, sir. I'm sorry.
Yes, I noticed.
So, thanks for tuning in again, everybody. I have been Carrie G.
And I have been JM Metal Geek.
And you guys have been awesome.
You have been geeked, motherfuckers.
Keep it geeky.
Zoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.